At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc. Dick.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Friday morning. And we, of course, have the phone lines open at 508-996-0500. A lot we can discuss. If you want to talk about President Biden's news conference last night, we can do that. As I said earlier, it doesn't seem that it's really changing anybody's mind one way or the other. In fact, there were a few more Democrats who called for Biden to step aside after the news conference. The Channel 12, Kim Kalunian has an interview with Congressman Jake Auchincloss, who has said now that the president should, take a look at the situation and maybe step aside. He did say that Biden will go down as a top 10 president in U.S. history. And I've noticed that there's a lot of that in the people who are saying he should step aside. They're putting those platitudes in there. Like, oh, he doesn't have to worry about his legacy. He's going to go down as one of the greatest presidents ever. And meanwhile, Biden's saying in the press conference, I don't care about legacy. I care about the next 4 years. And really, I'll be honest with you, this is just me. Legacy, what does that mean? Like, what do you really care about people, what they're going to say about you after you're gone? I don't care what you say about me after I walk out of the studio at 9 a.m. Let alone, I'm really not going to care what you say about me after I'm dead. So I don't think legacy has to play into it. We do a stage show, me and some of my paranormal friends, where we show Frank Grace's amazing photography on a big screen, and we tell the ghost stories associated with those places in front of it. And Jeff Belanger has a line in that where it's something to the effect of that in the Mexican tradition, you die three deaths. The first time is when your physical body dies. The second time is when everybody who you knew dies because they all carry a little piece of you with them, even after you're gone. And then the third death is when someone speaks your name for the last time. And you know how many of those I care about? None of them, really. But whatever happens after the first one, I don't care. Because I'm not going to be around to know about it. It's not going to bother me one way or the other. So anyway, I think that they're trying to have these platitudes to say, your legacy is already secure, Mr. President. You can step aside. But like I said, nothing really last night, I think, changed anybody's minds. You saw Joe Biden doing what he's good at, which is talking about foreign policy. And if you're looking for, you know, cognitive signs and things like that, I mean, open up Twitter in real time and you can see everybody who is a self-professed expert on something. You've got, you know, people who, I'm a whatever neurologist and I see no signs of cognitive decline, just the usual slowdown with age, no signs of any impairments. Everything's fine. And then somebody else, I'm a neurologist. This is telltale signs of it. So, you know, you really don't know who to believe. Then the, you know, the in the press conference, the questions are, you know, would you take a mental competency test? And Biden said, yeah, if my doctors asked me to take one. If you're confident in it, just take it anyway. I mean, nobody should be forced to take a medical test because of pressure from somebody else, except the doctor. But if he wanted to take one, he certainly could. But then also, what if he passes with flying colors? People are just going to accuse the doctor of writing what the president wanted him to say. You know, oh, that doctor is just a partisan hack. That doctor is just making up stuff to appease the electorate. It's like, you know, Ronny Jackson doing the medical exams for Trump. People are like, that's his friend. Or the other, who's the other Trump doctor? I can't remember his name. The guy with the long hair. And he was the one that was first saying that, like, I think he was the one that led to the stable genius comment. But what happened when, you know, Trump underwent physicals as president? They were telling us he weighed 220 pounds. Whatever it was. I forget what the number was. But, you know, a number that obviously wasn't true. So if they're going to lie about something as obvious as the president's weight, then is anybody really going to trust what a White House doctor says about the president's mental competency, which is not something you can necessarily see with your own eyes? There was a really great, great line in that press conference that nobody was talking about that made me laugh out loud. You know, everybody's focusing on, you know, Vice President Trump, which, you know, rightly so. It was a flub that, you know, caught people's attention. But again, as someone said, there's a difference between accidentally saying Vice President Trump and thinking Trump is the vice president. But my favorite line in the whole press conference was when, you know, he was talking about what he's been doing since the debate. And talking about what Donald Trump has been doing since the debate. And one of the things that he said that Trump has been doing is sitting in a golf cart, writing down his score before he even goes out to hit the ball. I was like, we've got another golf dig. This is getting really good. These golf digs are basically what, because let's face it, the election itself has no intrigue right now. There's nothing fun about it. There's nothing interesting about it. It's two old men who don't like each other yelling at each other and trying to get us to think the other person is the worst person that ever lived. It's no different than it's been. There's nothing new and interesting about it, except for this whole golf thing. If this was professional wrestling, and let's face it, it's not that far from it, this would be what we would call, you know, planting the seeds for what's to come. You know, this is like one wrestler beats up the other wrestler until they bleed, and then that wrestler goes away for a couple of weeks to recover, and then they come back and surprise that other wrestler, and they beat them up until they bleed, and then they each talk about, you know, having bled in this feud. And then what do they end up doing? They end up meeting at some big premium live event, they call them now. But they meet at some big show in a First Blood match. You know, the long-form storytelling. Drop the little hints here and there. Golf reference here, golf reference here, golf reference here, golf reference. They have to meet on the golf course now. There has to be a golf match between them. They're planting the seeds. He's sitting in the golf cart writing down his score before he goes out and hits the ball. And I saw Trump posted something about the Vice President Trump comment. I didn't see if he posted anything about the golf shot. I'll have to look and see because he'll probably have a funny response to that too. But that's pretty much the intrigue for me at this point. Other than that, it could be November 5th or whatever the election day is this year. It could already be then for me. I'm just ready for it to be over. As are, I think, most people. One way or the other. So we can talk about that. But there is this story that you heard Phil mention in the news, and Ariel has a detailed report at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. A New Bedford man is facing 39 animal cruelty charges, as well as drug charges, after 21 dogs had to be rescued from his apartment due to unsanitary and dangerous conditions. Now, we heard about this a couple of days ago. I had reached out to the police. You know how I had said yesterday, you know, sometimes I send requests for information and I don't hear anything back. This was one of them. But they posted something to Facebook instead. No press release sent. No, they just posted it to Facebook. But anyway, animal control officers and detectives went to an apartment on Myrtle Street and detected a pungent odor of urine and feces in the apartment, and multiple dogs were heard barking. The tenant, Derek Ambrose, 35 years old, fled the apartment before the animal control officers arrived. They're looking for him now. They want anybody that knows about his whereabouts to contact the police department. But inside the home, inside the building, they found 12 Cane Corso dogs in cages in the attic, with temperatures in the attic allegedly over 100 degrees. Have you ever seen a Cane Corso? Are you familiar with these? These are very, very large dogs. They are big, muscular dogs. They're bred to be like guard dogs. Although they make very good companions too. They're a great dog. But they're also huge. And there were 12 of them in cages in an attic with temperatures over 100 degrees. In addition to that, they found 9 French bull mixed dogs in the third floor apartment. Some were loose, some were caged, and none of the dogs that they found in this home had adequate food or water. And some of the dogs were reported to have overgrown nails, which prevented them from walking normally. Now, my dog got an ingrown nail, and it was horrible for her. Unfortunately, I didn't realize that she had it until it became ingrown. She didn't like to have her nails trimmed. She didn't like to be groomed. She just was so against it all the time, and she was very anxious, so I didn't put her through it. You know, I said, okay, every couple of months, I would have the vet come and trim her nails because I wouldn't take her to Petco because it was too traumatic for her. I ended up finally bringing her to my friend who's a dog groomer because she was the only person she was comfortable with. And then she would send me photos of Ruby in the bath with a big goofy grin on her face and her tongue sticking out. I was like, you're the only person that can get away with doing this with her. And my dog had black nails that you couldn't see the quick, so I couldn't trim them myself. Not that she would have let me either. So she got an ingrown nail one time. It was during the pandemic. And so I just imagine, you know, these dogs walking around with not one, but multiple. And then, in addition, they found all kinds of drugs in the apartment as well. 25 grams of crack, 9 grams of fentanyl, Adderall, oxycodone, mushrooms, and marijuana. And then all, you know, the things that they associate with drug dealing, vacuum sealers, packaging materials, digital scales, etc. So now Ambrose is wanted on 39 counts of animal cruelty, numerous narcotics-related charges. He pretty much hit the whole alphabet of drug charges. Possession with intent to distribute classes A, B, C, D, and E. And according to New Bedford police, he has an extensive criminal history with 67 adult arraignments and convictions for a variety of illnesses, a variety of offenses. Variety of offenses, possession of and discharge of a firearm, and possession of a dangerous weapon. 2 previous convictions for dealing cocaine, 1 for dealing fentanyl, 1 for dealing marijuana. At the time of this arrest, well, they haven't got him yet, but he has 3 open cases in Falmouth District Court and 9 open cases in New Bedford District Court. So we got an app chat message from Jeff in Fall River who says, "Good morning, Tim. Poor dogs in the attic. That is terrible. This guy has 65 convictions, some serious. Why is he walking the streets?" Well, it's not 65 convictions. Just an important thing to note. It's 65 arraignments and convictions is what they said. But he seems to have a significant number of convictions. So the question is, why is he walking the streets? Why haven't there been enough charges against him over the years that he should be given maximum sentences for some of these convictions? I don't know. But the dogs were rescued. People are asking what are happening to the dogs. You know, what we can do is, you know, maybe next week we can reach out to Manny Maisel and find out, like, what's going on with those dogs. Because those are King Corsos, are hard dogs to come by. I know people who have them and swear they're the best pets they've ever had. People want those dogs, which I don't think you should want those dogs if you live in an apartment. You shouldn't want one, let alone have, you know, a dozen. As someone put it to me yesterday, those dogs are the size of a small horse. And there's 12 of them living in cages in an attic in a triple decker in New Bedford. And then living in the conditions that they were. Just horrible. And it is disheartening how many animal cruelty stories we have to report on each year. And while the people get found out and get arrested and get charged, it doesn't make it sting any less for animal lovers to hear about these stories. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. We are less than a week away from Joe Jesus' 50s night. It's coming to downtown New Bedford next Thursday, July 18th, and we are bringing with it our annual WBSM 50s night playlist. WBSM has thrown it back to the 50s with a special broadcast before, during, and after the event. You'll be able to hear it on 1420 AM, on 99.5 FM, and on the WBSM app, as well as on WBSM.com if you stream us that way. We'll be playing exclusively 50s tunes the whole family can enjoy from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m., followed by backseat music from 10 to midnight. So all the slow songs from 10 to midnight. And this special 50s night broadcast is brought to you by our great community sponsors like Elite Auto Detailing, Market Basket, Leech Auto Body, and Empire Ford of Fall River and New Bedford. And you know what? I'm laying out all of the commercials and everything for 50s night. We've got some space open. If you are a New Bedford business or any business here on the South Coast and you would like to get involved in sponsoring 50s night and helping us provide this great night of music and fun around such a wonderful event downtown, reach out to me, tim@wbsm.com, and I can send you all the information because this is a big, big event. It's probably the biggest thing we do on WBSM all year long, and everybody tunes in for this. So you're going to hit people that you might not hit on WBSM the whole rest of the year, and there's commercials that you get with it for, you know, the entire month and all kinds of great things as part of this deal. So if you're interested, reach out to me, tim@wbsm.com. Very affordable, and it helps make 50s night all that much more fun for the people of New Bedford in memory of Joe Jesus. Now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
President Biden defending himself as pressure mounts to step down. The armorer will be called to testify in Alec Baldwin's manslaughter trial. And today, we celebrate the French fry.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Former President Obama and Nancy Pelosi have held private meetings about the future of President Biden's 2024 campaign. Mark Mayfield with the story.
CNN reports both Obama and the ex-House Speaker have expressed worries about Biden's mental fitness and how difficult it will be for him to beat Donald Trump. The meetings come as 16 congressional Democrats have called on Biden to exit the race. CNN reporters spoke with over a dozen members of Congress and people in touch with Obama and Pelosi, and many have allegedly said the end of Biden's candidacy feels clear. The news comes the same day that Biden spoke at an hour-long press conference. I'm Mark Mayfield.
President Biden defending himself at that press conference last night.
The consideration is that I think I'm the most qualified person to run for president. I beat him once, and I will beat him again.
During a rare solo press event that lasted nearly an hour, Biden said he had no plans on dropping out of the race unless his team came back with figures showing there was no way he could win. Biden is scheduled to attend a campaign event in Detroit today. Fulton County, Georgia's Elections Board is bringing in independent monitors to observe voting operations in the general election. Tammy Trujillo with more.
Members narrowly approved the measure on Thursday. It now goes to the State Election Board for a green light. Fulton County has been scrutinized for the way it handled the 2020 election, becoming a focus for former President Trump's efforts to change the outcome of the vote. Two machine ballot recounts and one hand recount resulted in the same conclusion, leading to a narrow victory for Joe Biden in the state. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is calling for an investigation into why so many people lost power after Hurricane Beryl made landfall on Monday and why it's taking so long to get the lights back on. Abbott said he's directing the Public Utility Commission to look into why this sort of thing happens so often in Houston. As it stands today, just over a million customers are still without power amid sweltering temperatures in the region. The Rust Armorer will be called to testify in Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial today. Here's Brian Shook.
Hannah Gutierrez-Reed was sentenced earlier this year in New Mexico to 18 months for involuntary manslaughter. Her attorney says she will be moved from prison to the courthouse, but will plead the fifth and not offer testimony. The judge previously ruled Gutierrez-Reed cannot be granted immunity when the prosecutors tried to compel her to testify. Baldwin was rehearsing with a prop gun on the movie set when it went off, firing a live round and killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins in 2021. I'm Brian Shook.
Half of cancer deaths among American adults 30 and over are linked to bad behavior. A new study from the American Cancer Society says these modifiable risk factors include smoking, drinking, diet, and not being vaccinated. Smoking was the most common, causing 30% of all cancer deaths. Excess body weight came in second. And National French Fry Day is today. Your favorite restaurants might be marking the occasion by offering some special deals. or you could just make some at home.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Athletics 7-0 to take their rubber match at Fenway. Sox next host the Kansas City Royals for a three-game series beginning tonight in Boston. First pitch just after 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
This morning, look for a blend of sun and clouds. We are going to be bringing in showers and the chance of thunderstorms by mid-morning. Look for a high today near 85. Overnight tonight, mostly cloudy. Chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Your overnight low near 73. And for Saturday, cloudy with patchy fog. Chance of showers, chance of thunderstorms, and we could even see areas of locally heavy rain. Your Saturday high near 81. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas.
And of course, well, that's Elvis. That song's not from the 50s. That's from the 60s, right? Why are you playing a song from the 60s if you're talking about 50s night? Well, because it's Viva Las Vegas, and who's on the line but Lamone in Las Vegas. Good morning, Lamone. How you doing?
What's shaking, Playboy?
Apparently Elvis's hips.
Exactly. Exactly. The hipping and swaying, just like a young Forrest Gump started doing. You remember?
Yeah, he's the one that taught Elvis how to gyrate.
That's right. I like to listen to Elvis. He's listening to music. Do you know the kid that was actually, that's how he really talked.
Yeah, that's how he's the one that inspired Tom Hanks to talk like that in the movie.
I know. That was good. And I think that, what do you think is a better movie? Saving Private Ryan or Forrest Gump?
You know, I've never seen Saving Private Ryan.
So I guess Forrest Gump would be your answer, right?
Yeah, I saw Forrest Gump in the theater on a date. And mm-hmm. I was like, the date's trying to hold my hand and everything. And I was like, no, I'm into this movie. Like, I don't want to make out with this movie. I'm paying attention to this movie. I like this movie. And I watch it every time it comes on.
I've seen where actual veterans walked out of both films doing certain parts of the movie. Of course, you know, with the shooting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think the Vietnam veterans that I saw walk out, the only ones that are still alive. You know, that just tells you how lifelike that was for them. And you heard grown men in their 80s and stuff out there crying and out there in the hallway, you know, watching this. And it's like, those gentlemen, they didn't go and get the assistance like a lot of the people do nowadays. Because, you know, you're a man, not supposed to, get over it. You know, they like rub dirt on and walk it off. That's how it was supposed to be back then, those days. So, like, and you see, yeah.
I would say, do you know, too, that, and this is hard to wrap your head around, right? But
yeah.
This past week, last week, was the 30th anniversary of the release of Forrest Gump. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you think about it this way too,
mm-hmm.
It's been longer now since Forrest Gump came out to now than it was from Vietnam until that movie for those Vietnam veterans.
Yeah, well, 74 and 94. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's just to put it in perspective of, you know, how fresh it still was for them. We can think back to, I remember what it was like the first time I saw Forrest Gump. Well, imagine what it was like for them being through the worst thing they ever went through. And it was less time had passed and they're sitting in the movie theater seeing this, you know, this recollection of it, which many have said for a movie that wasn't a war movie, you know, it did one of the best jobs of portraying what the war was like.
And, you know, another thing I was about that. Also, you know, Forrest Gump, he was related to the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. Nathan Bedford Forrest, mm-hmm. They were distant cousins, And he was the one, if you ever heard of the story about Jacob's pillow, that's something that everybody should listen to. All right, when all these, Jacob's pillow, it was a place where these black northern soldiers were all up there. It was like 300 of them. And Nathan Bedford Forrest said, take no prisoners, kill them all. And there was one black guy who was the leader of them, and he died. When he died, they killed him right there, and they buried him with them, with the rest of the black soldiers. And it's let him stay there with this man where he belongs. And so Jacob's Pillow is one of the most famous atrocities. Over 300 men put down the weapons and stuff, and they took him and killed him, you know, because they didn't like the skin color. That's not necessarily the good thing about it, but like I said, he was the one that started the whole Ku Klux Klan because of him and his beliefs.
Yeah.
And so that gives you something to think about, as something wonderful like Forrest Gump that comes from something evil and dark like that, the more power to him. I used to tell my two older daughters, I would be very proud if you brought him Forrest Gump as a son-in-law. I said, he didn't cuss. He made money, and he took it and provided for a college, and he fixed the churches and stuff like that. And when he saw somebody put their hands on Jenny, he beat the crap out of him. Like I said, then he apologized out of the fight your Black Panther Party. You know, I think that's something right there. That's kind of a man, no matter think he's slow or not, I think that's a man that anybody should be proud of having for a brother, a friend, a son-in-law, a husband, anything like that. Because that's something, is a prideful man. He's not a prideful man, but something to be proud of.
That was exactly the point of Winston Groom creating the character, and what Robert Zemeckis tried to make in the movie was to show that, you know, somebody being a little bit different than you on a mental capacity doesn't make them any less of a person. In fact, you know, he was the best person of everybody that he was around. So,
yes. And he's also another thing. They have a new movie coming out that's kicking. It's riding on the back of that. Where Jenny.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention that to you. Robin Wright Penn and Tom Hanks are going to be in that new movie here. And people are calling this online. They're saying this, you know, this is the happily ever after for Forrest and Jenny that we wanted to see.
And see, that's so sad. I remember how many people went for walks that said Jenny because she treated Forrest Gump. I mean, Jenny, I don't want anything bad happened to her. Like I said, you could see where everybody would throw rocks at him and stuff like that, at her for being mean to him, but he deserved better, and he brought better. She brought him a grandson that his mother would have loved to have had, and that's sad that she couldn't have did it a little earlier, when, you know, because I think that she would have probably lived longer. That's one thing. Anybody out there that has elderly parents or grandparents, whatever, or just older people in your family, you get children. If you have children, bring them around them. That'll make them want to live longer and live better. And because, you know, a lot of times, a lot of parents make mistakes growing up other raising a child themselves. And so a lot of times they're better grandparents, and they could be ass parents. And like I said, it couldn't go wrong by having that. I'll tell you right now, the biggest help I had in my life was having my mother around. When my oldest daughter, like I said, his mother was killed by a drunk driver. And I had her ever since she was like 4 months old. And it's like, it was hard. It was hard, and it's like I remember all the girl things and stuff. I remember when my daughter says, "Dad, isn't Nick Carter fine from the Backstreet Boys?" I was like, "What?" I was like, "Oh no!" You know, my daughter's very, God bless me, very beautiful and intelligent daughters. And so it's like you think about that. You see them grow up from the little child, but never let go of your leg, would love to stay in your arms and be around you and watch baseball with you and things like that and have fun like that. She helped me with my cards and stuff like that. I said, give me a Dallas Cowboy card. She gave me a Dallas Cowboy card. You're not Oprah. You're not going to make me cry today, Timothy. You're not today. You're not going to make me cry. But I tell you right now, it's like you see these things, see kids grow up so fast.
Yeah.
Like, look at your son, brother.
Right, 20 years went by in the blink of an eye.
And you don't you want to sometimes, I know you're glad he's grown, but damn, I still see my baby still small, you know, like, well, I'm Superman for him, you know? Yeah, you know, it's like, and so, you know, when you get older, you have to.
Although it is very helpful to have him reach the stuff on the top shelf that I can't reach.
That's good. There's no piggyback rides, Sonny. Nothing like that.
No, he's giving me piggyback rides these days. He's
that's what I'm saying.
Foot and a half taller than I am.
That's what I'm saying. Piggyback ride, you know.
I gotta hold you there, Lamone, because I gotta take a break here. But thank you for the call, and thank you for inspiring a lot of people now to go watch Forrest Gump this weekend.
One thing about that, remember the cars got stolen out there last year? The Porsches or whatever, the Ferraris got stolen out there. Did you guys ever catch the two guys that did that?
I don't think so. No, I haven't heard if they did.
I told you they're still
not on to me as far as I know. I mean, they don't know who it was.
Exactly. And so that was a chunky one. Yeah, so I don't know what I'm talking about now. Yeah, but like I said, God bless everybody out there. And may the good Lord smile upon you. We could all use a little smile and laughter in our lives.
Absolutely. And as you say that, the sun's breaking through the clouds here and shining bright. So there
that's
you go.
Right. You go, young man.
Have a good weekend, Lamone. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Sister Skeddy. Play on, brother. God bless.
You as well. That is Lamone in Las Vegas. We got to take a break here. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. That's, Lamone was talking about Forrest Gump and especially the Vietnam War scenes. And, of course, that's one of the most memorable scenes in the movie is when that song is playing. And that movie really did incorporate the music into the scenes so importantly that I read a story one time that one of the big phenomenons of that movie was that people would leave the movie theater and immediately go into a nearby store and buy the soundtrack. And I saw it, I think I saw it on opening day, or at least opening weekend, but I saw it at the Buzzards Bay Theater. So there was no music shop nearby to walk into for me. But, of course, everybody went out and ended up getting that soundtrack, the 2-CD set, after that movie came out. And it became a huge selling album and brought a lot of those songs back for people. The only time... Well, no, I think there's been a few times that I've gone out and bought a soundtrack right after, or, at least now started streaming the soundtrack right after a movie. I did that with The Batman when that came out a couple of years ago. As soon as I got in the car on the way home, I was playing the soundtrack the whole way, the orchestral score, everything. But the one time I can remember leaving a movie and then immediately going into the record store was when I saw That Thing You Do. We saw it at the Dartmouth Mall and walked out of the movies and immediately went to the record shop and bought the single of That Thing You Do. I didn't buy the whole movie soundtrack, just the song, and played it over and over again. It was such a catchy song and another great Tom Hanks movie. The first one he ever directed and wrote. And I do like that movie starring, Bridgewater's own Tom Everett Scott. So local Massachusetts connection to that movie, which will be celebrating its own 30th anniversary coming up in a couple of years. And I don't know if you're familiar with Eddie Deason. He's the actor who played Eugene in Grease, the nerd. And he was in War Games in 1941 with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. He was in a lot of movies in the 80s as that nerdy character. And he's a great person to send a friend request to on Facebook. And he's always sharing stories from his time working in Hollywood. Now, he's had some struggles over the years and some different issues that have come up. But to hear him talk about Tom Hanks and the reverence he has for him, he calls him his favorite actor of all time and one of the greatest human beings that he's ever known. And just share stories of what it was like being on set with him because they worked together on the Polar Express. That and his stories about John Travolta, which, I have a tendency to be dismissive of John Travolta because he's a Scientologist. But he's done so much for Eddie and for other people without anybody ever knowing about it. So it's really, really interesting behind the scenes to see who are the good people. Shelley Duvall was one of those good people. Everybody's sharing their nice stories about her. She had a rough time herself. The people saw her as a complainer because she complained about the way she was treated on the set of The Shining. But Stanley Kubrick put her through a lot to get that performance out of her. And of course, it becomes an iconic performance. But yes, Mary had it right this morning. Go back and watch Fairy Tale Theater and see her at her best doing something that she created and that she was, you know, in charge of. 508-996-0500. I've got to take one final break this hour, so I'll do it right now. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. We're going to be going to the news in just a moment. But before we do that, of course, you're probably planning your weekend festivities, right? Maybe you're going to have a cookout. Maybe you're going to have a get-together. After all, it's a weekend in July, right? There's always something to do. Why not stop by Stevie's Wine and Spirits and get all your party supplies? They've got, of course, everything at Stevie's is laid out in a very easy to find location. And that's what I think is one of the most impressive things about this store. It's located on Huddleston Avenue, Stevie's Wine and Spirits here in Fairhaven. When you walk into the store, you have a variety of different liquors, but they're all sectioned off. So you've got your rums over here. You've got your whiskey room over here. Vodkas are over here. Wine in the back. You have all the beer selection. You've even got the patio pounders cooler. The stuff that's great for summertime. It's all right there. And so it makes it nice and easy to find. Of course, they're happy to help you look for anything you might be looking for. And don't forget to look for that purple dot so you can try it before you buy it. If there has a purple dot next to it, you can ask for a sample and taste it before you buy it. That's in addition to all the great tasting events that they have at Stevie's all the time. And to learn more about them, you should follow them on Facebook and Instagram because you never know when one's going to pop up. It's where I go to get all of my drinks, which, as you know, I don't drink much. So when I do, I want to make sure it's the good stuff. And I get it all at Stevie's Wine and Spirits at the best prices. And I get to try it before I buy it. So check them out. Stevie's Wine and Spirits, Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And when you go in there and shop, make sure you thank them for sponsoring Tim's Tickets and making it so we can give away tickets to shows all summer long. All right.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.